Are we ready? Okay. So, Maimer Aleph, Os Gimel, section of Torah. Apiha Omer, based on what we have said until now, Yesh Tavar Inyan Torah Lishma. Let us go ahead and define what Torah Lishma means. Dehinei, Mashma'ut Lishma, the concept of Lishma, Hainu Lishim Yehuda, V'Tafkida. The actual definition of the word Lishma means that you're doing it for its purpose. Lishma means to be done for its purpose, for its intention. That is a direct translation. I am doing something, Lishma means to do it for its intention, for its purpose. That Hashem made things for their actions, for their purpose. Shaloi made kidei shekoyach atere yachder bo'oro yizbarach shemo, that a person learns in order that the energy of Torah should instill within him a light, the light of God, to light up the world and those that live in the world with the light of God, and to enlighten the world that he lives within, to light up the nothingness, the emptiness, and the world of in other words, like this. Comes in Nesiv Shalom and says, why did Hashem give us the Torah? Based on what we've described until now, the chilek between Torah and mitzvahs, Torah changes our lens, changes our perspective, changes our vision that we see the world through. So the purpose of giving us the mitzvah of learning Torah, the ultimate goal is that we will have a different perspective on creation. We'll have a different perspective on Olam Hazeh. On a basic level, what it means is that when you, a person has a limited perspective and he's approached with, he lives a life of a very hard life, a lot of yisurim and different sicknesses. It's hard. No one's denying the fact that that life is a difficult life to live. It's hard, it's painful, right? It's not enjoyable. That is correct, but a person with a wider lens, with a broader perspective, can have a joy in those pains. Why? Because he recognizes that ultimately that is going to lead him to having a greater Olam Haba. For example, somebody who wants to become an NBA basketball player, right? Michael Jordan writes in his memoirs that, I shouldn't say writes, but it was a documentary of his memoirs, that he went to the gym in North Carolina and he sat there for hours on end taking foul shots. And nowadays, you know, the great prospects have like the guy, the rebounder, just like delivers it back to him because everyone's lazy. But like Michael Jordan was talking about how the fact that when he was in North Carolina, there was no rebounding there at 12 o'clock at night that would rebound the ball and pass it back to him. So it was like foul shot, run, get the ball, foul shot, run, get the ball, foul shot, run, get the ball. That's pretty annoying. That's pretty, you know, tedious and just like, who wants to do that, right? However, if you have a greater understanding of what's going on, you recognize that the difficulties that I'm encountering now, the boring, tedious effort that I'm putting in now, is going to pay off big time in the long run. Right? So, a lot of people get lost in the foul shots and they never get it out of the foul shots. Right? The practice is so overwhelming that they never make it beyond the practice to recognize that, guess what, this is getting me better and I'm going to eventually do good enough to get to the game. And then eventually, if I keep on doing the difficult, boring stuff, I'll eventually get really, really good. Maybe I can actually make a career out of this. Most people don't overcome that challenge of the practice in the world. Right? There are a lot of people with natural talents that don't ever maximize those talents. And they never get beyond the stage of practice. Torah, La'avdil, right? A big distinction, says our whole existence is just practice. The world we're living in now is just practice. In other words, there's the physical aspect of the world that we're living in, which we recognize, realize, and live in physically, right? Exist within. And that is really just all practice to prepare us to not only Olam Haba, but even within the world we're living in. Right, the Chassidus was a big fan of the fact. The Alter Lubavitcher Rebbe talked about extensively, really from the Maggid, that a person based on the Gemara says that when Rabbi Yechonon HaSadler was making shoes, he was miyached yichudim, which means he was like saying these enchantments to bring down the Shefa Elohim into the world in some great Kabbalistic manner. That's like crazy. What does shoes have to do with anything? The Maggid and Mezra used to explain the Gemara that even when you're making shoes, you have the capability of recognizing, you have the capability of experiencing, you know, a very spiritual existence. If you have the capability, when you're making your shoes, but most of us don't have that capability. Torah gives us the perspective that the world we're living in on a superficial level, just practice, there's something much greater beyond the surface that we don't recognize. And the Torah says, look from a different perspective. Just like Michael Jordan, in order to had to look from a different perspective to recognize that practice is much deeper and more profound than just shooting a bunch of hoops and running and getting the ball. There's a goal in mind. It's getting me somewhere. It's perfecting my muscle memory and you know, making my skills better. So to us, when the Torah, through learning Torah, we have the capability of changing the perspective of what we're living in, when we're not just shaking a lulav, we're not just sitting and eating, and I'm not just making shoes, but I'm making shoes at the same time I'm being reactive, I'm connecting to God in a very deep spiritual manner.
But isn't that more found in more machshavas?
No, not at all. Not at all. What does that mean? The answer is multifaceted. Meaning, avad and avad, no one will argue that the fact is when you're learning Machshavas Svarim, you're understanding these spiritual concepts that are going on in the world. But if you understand everything, if you don't know how to do anything, so it's meaningless and pointless. Minus pointless. Right? I can understand exactly how to open a door, but if I don't have the key, it's never going to get open. Even if I have the key, if I never turn it, it's never going to open, right? That understanding is beautiful, it's profound, it's great, it's amazing. Right? But there's a big chilek between the university professor who studies, you know, medicine and the one who actually goes into the lab and creates the cure for cancer. The one who studies it, you know, and he never puts it into practice, so at the end of the day, he's still living in a world with tons and tons of cancer. Okay, so he knows that there's cancer, and he knows, like, if I would do X, Y, and Z, maybe I could stop the cancer, but, like, that's beautiful, that's wonderful, that's great, but, like, he didn't do anything. Masha Ankain, the one who actually makes the cure for cancer, even if he doesn't understand why it works, he never understands how this happened. At the end of the day, did he stop cancer?
Yeah. I was learning in Machloketim of Shimon and Rabbi Akiva Eger. How to understand
time
what the chiv
time out. We're going to get. No.
No.
So, not at all. But the concept being that halacha is how to stop the plague. Halacha is how to stop the plague. The halacha is understanding how to act in this world appropriately, how to connect to God, how to create the Shef Kedush in the world, how to bring that Or Elokim into the world. Right, the halacha is what does Hashem want me to do? It's the way to walk, the lashon halicha. Right, it's the way to walk. It's the way to act. It's the way to appropriately behave. That's what halacha is. Now, that is the aleph base of understanding of anything. The aleph base is how to act appropriately. Now, the machshava is saying when you're doing that, guess what's going on? Guess what's going on? You know what's going on? All these great things are going on. Now, those great things are not specific to the action you're doing. You know, talking about how great Liman HaTorah is, so that is talking about Liman HaTorah, but I'm saying, talking about the greatness of Liman HaTorah and what Liman HaTorah does, that doesn't explain to you why it's important or what's going on when I shake the lulav specifically forward, backwards, left, right, up, down, all around, right? I understand that it's important to learn about the lulav. I understand it's important to the mitzvah of the lulav. Right? The learning is going to create a shefa. It's going to change my perspective. Wonderful. When I do the mitzvah, I'm actually doing something. Wonderful. Two separate things going on. Comes along limud of halacha, learning halacha as opposed to just practice. That's practicing halacha. Okay? So you have to know how to act. Now, the svara behind the way we act, that's what Yizzi is asking, just taking it one step further, is why don't we just learn Mishabur then? Learn Mishabur all day long. Learn Shulchan Aruch all day long. Right? Say that you can even go that far if you want to. But I don't have to go that far. Why do I care? I just have to know how to do everything correctly. I know what I'm by knowing what I'm doing, I know that I am doing the Ratzon Hashem. And now I want to have more Limud HaTorah. Let me sit and learn Pachad Yitzchok all day long. The Teretz is obvious. It's Pashit. It's Pashit. Learning the Pachad Yitzchok is going to tell you what happens when you're learning Torah. It's going to happen, you know. But the depth of understanding, when you really understand the svara as deep as you possibly could, why I have to shake the lulav, that's understanding the Ratzon Hashem. That's not only acting upon the Ratzon. First there's a level of what does Hashem want me to do, then there's a level of why, what's the logic behind that, what's the deeper meaning behind that. That is all halacha. That's before you get to this machshava dikazach. Before you get to philosophy, is understanding, you know, what is it that Hashem just wants me to shake the lulav in five in six directions? Maybe Hashem doesn't care about shaking the lulav in five directions. But Hashem really wants me to do is shake the lulav everywhere. Happens to me, six directions signifies everywhere. The big chilek between those two perspectives. Now, you want to understand why Hashem wants you to shake the lulav everywhere as opposed to in six directions? I'll tell you, you know, there could be a great machshava behind that. But the svara of the halacha is understanding that is realizing halacha isn't just some magic hocus pocus of just turn the key and the door opens. It's understanding that when you turn the key, guess what? There's a hinge inside. And it's more, or there's a little tongue coming out that locks it into the door. We turn the key open, and somebody could think, you know, if I turn the key, all of a sudden the door opens. Guess what? He's an idiat. The svara is recognizing that when you turn the key, guess what? That little tongue that goes into the wall is now being retracted from the wall. So the svara, the eon of halacha, is understanding, what are you really doing? What's really behind this? Right? Is it a, for example, kasha zomam? Is it a kenas or is it a repayment, a retribution, or a kenas? I don't know how they said the chakira in yeshiva, but is it an einish or a kenas? I don't know how Rabbi Kenigsberg say it.
Kenas or
mamon? Kenas or mamon? That's the classic. Okay, that makes more sense. It's reimbursement versus the fine, right? Same thing. Okay, that. We could just say kasha zama means, you know, hocus pocus, all of a sudden you did X, you get Y. But what is that? The Ratzon Hashem is not just you did X, you get Y. The Ratzon Hashem is either a mammon or a kenas. That's what the Ratzon Hashem is. That's the Sevara that the Ratzon Hashem is. How that plays out, Allah Lamaisa, what's the Nafkamina says, that's all practical. The Ratzon Hashem is that it should be Mammon and it should be Shnat. So learning halacha b'iyun and understanding the svaras behind everything is you're re-engineering halacha to get back to the source. You're getting back to the ultimate source of what the Ratzon Hashem is.
So why don't we just learn halacha b'iyun and understand the source?
That's what you're doing.
Many of them now need to learn with the chassan. No.
I don't. Why do you have to learn with this?
So you can understand the svaras behind the.
You're learning only with Hilchos, huh? 100%. You're understanding
other people don't.
What are you doing when you go to Kashrut Zalman? Why is that not only with Hilchos?
We're not learning how to play the halacha.
I don't care how to play the halacha. Because the practical how to do things is only a cave. You have to you do this, you do that. But the more important thing, if you want to get to the Ratzon Hashem is fundamentally the svar behind it. That's the more important part of it all. A person decides he wants to build a house, right? Decides he wants to build a house. The initial gut reaction is not that I want to have, you know, three stories and this many rooms. The gut reaction is I want to build a house. That's stage one. That's the ultimate Ratzon. The Ratzon is I want to build a house. Now I have to figure out, you know, how to get from I want to build a house to the practical of the architect's plans and everything I'm going to put into practice. But the Ratzon is I want to build a house. Our ultimate goal with Eon is to figure out what that Ratzon is. Because that's the closest you're getting to the source. That's the ultimate understanding, the greatest understanding you ever get to what Hashem really wants. So, in Echanami, There's a Maila, for sure, it's important. The Gemara says you have to learn Libet HaHilchos, it's also true. But at the end of the day, if you really want to re-engineer the world and get back to the ultimate chap, the ultimate understanding, the ultimate depth, and as close as you can to the source, and therefore have a different perspective of the entire world, it's the healing behind it all. It's the Svara that generates everything. And at some point, you say, I just can't get any further. Because again, when a person wants to build a house, their initial reaction is not, I want to have three stories and six bedrooms. Their gut reaction is, I want to build a house. And then you have to take from that svara, that's the svara, I want to build a house. Right? The svara might not be, I want to build a house. The svara might be, I want a place that I could sleep in without getting rained upon. There's a big chiluk there, right? The svar might be I want protection from my enemies, and therefore I want walls. But the svar, the gut reaction, the initial understanding is what we're trying to get back to. That's what the ultimate goal of the svar is. So the limud ha-Torah b'iyun is
to get back to the
source.
Hashem had an original thought.
Sure, that's called the atzilus.
Oh, shit. That's progressive.
And that Atzilus developed from Yetzir Bir Atzilus, right? It develops into four stages. But the ultimate goal of it all, that's what Rav Hunter writes in Bacha Gitzchak in a few places, that if somebody really wants to learn Torah, right? At the end of the day, the words are irrelevant. The halacha lemaisa is irrelevant. At the end of the day, the most important thing is to get the svaras. Getting all the way back to the svaras. That's the goal. That's the desire. That's the way you're going to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very deep way. Because that is what Hashem's Ratzon is. Right? So now you understand three things. Right? We said there's... What we're discussing here is the unique nature, that ultimate svara behind the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Right? What we're discussing here is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah in particular. That mitzvah of Talmud Torah plays out into 612 other mitzvahs. There's Talmud Torah of Kasher Zaman. There's Talmud Torah of Lula. There's Talmud Torah of Tefillah. Right? So, And any time you do the Talmud Torah, whatever aspect of Talmud Torah you do, right? So you're doing whatever what we're talking about here. You're changing your lens, you're changing your perspective of what's going on in the world. Now, you want to choose where you should put that focus of Talmud Torah, and should I put it in, you know, learning Mishabura all day? Should I put that Talmud Torah into, you know, Iyun and the Svarah? Should I put the Talmud Torah into learning the Machshava? Okay. Question number two. And that's what he says, that there's, you know, the most important, it's great to know everything, but if you don't know how to act, then you're lacking it all. If you know how to act, even if you don't know why, it's true, right? Just like that scientist that cures cancer, you might not know why it happened, but if it worked, it worked. Right? Figure out why it happened, that's even better. That's the svar. Right? And then you can apply it elsewhere. You can get a deeper understanding. You get back to the source as great as possible. It's amazing, right? And then you can understand the mitzvah Talmud Torah also, why that's unique and why that's special. But you have to understand how to do Talmud Torah also. There's a lot of halachas of Talmud Torah also, right? All conscious of the Shulchan Aruch Harav, we talked about that, the Hilchos Talmud Torah that everyone learns. Shulchan Aruch Harav codified very, very definitively what the halachas of Talmud Torah are. And you lump this with Talmud Torah, the Gemara's in Kiddushin over there, Chateh, whatever, Lama, and Al. Tons of lumpus over there, tons of lumpus. That's the practical. And this is the svara behind it.
Right? The svara is getting closer to the roots of Hashem.
There's the svara of why did Hashem want you to do X, Y, and Z. Let's clearly define what Kasher Zomim is. Now I clearly understand what he wants me to do, and then there's a why he wants me to do that. It's to make it even sharper, if you would jump to the why without understanding the what, then the why doesn't make any sense either. If our understanding of Kasher Zomim is they did X, therefore they get X, forget Mum and forget Knas, I don't know which one it is, I don't really care. Now let's try to figure out what the Machshav is behind that. I could imagine the Machshav would be very different if it's a Mum versus the Knas. Probably, right? If you don't have a clear definition of what the what is, you're never going to get to the why. If my, you know, the person's desire is protection, why does he want protection? Second question. So if his desire is protection, that's going to be a very different why than if his desire is to have a roof over his head. Right? Understood? The roof over your head might have. You might want that roof over your head if you live in an island all by yourself with no one to worry about. Whereas the protection you're only going to want if you have something to protect from. So the why behind it, why do I want protection? Well, I want protection because I'm living in the middle of Harlem and I, you know, whatever, attacking my house, you'll move a lila. Well, why do I want a roof over my head? Because I'm living in, I don't know, London, England, and therefore it rains four times a day, every single day. Like, right, that's a why. That's a machshavah dikazach. That's a philosophy. But that philosophy is irrelevant until you understand what the what is. There's a practical what. The what, the ultimate practical what is. What are the blueprints that the architect gave me to build a house? And then there's the gut reaction. There's the initial thought. Why? Where did that come from? What are the blueprints based upon? Because some guy decided he wanted to build a house. Why did the guy want to build a house? Where did that come from? Well, that came because he wanted protection. That came because he wanted roof over his head. And the more you get back to the original svara, the original source, the closer you're getting. The closer you're getting to what the Ratzon Hashem is. That's the ultimate goal of connecting back to God. And that's why the Sifri says that if you learn Torah, you're going to get out of Hashem. Because the greater you have appreciation for the Ratzon Hashem, the greater you understand what God really, really is presenting Himself to you. So, why are you going to love it? Why are you going to love God? It's a question.
So, you don't understand why you do what you do?
Sure. Yeah. Before you understand the why, you understand what you're doing. Right? The Briskas never ask why, they only ask what. But they do ask why, right? You don't know, but they do ask why. They really do ask why. They just say what? What's the Hagdara? What's the definition? Right, you tell me that the kasher is olam. Not since the ochid, the mitzvah is did X in charge. He gets X. So you could ask that as why does he get X? Is it because it's mamon or kenas? What's the definition of the X that he's getting? Is it a mamon or kenas? That's the same thing, right? So they never say why. They only say what. But there's a what understanding. The ultimate what is that rutzin? And then there's a let's philosophize. Let's figure out why that rutzin is important. What's behind it, right? That's the you know. So you have to understand first what is the what? What are we doing?
So why do we when we learn Gemara do not take it to the next level? And like, what are you doing? Like, we just learn so good, not a second. Like we're not taking.
You're saying why don't we play it out more halacha lemaisa, or why don't we go back to the source even further? So the answer is very simple. The mental ethic was one of the biggest lamdonim. He lives right next to the mir, across the street from Beis Yishai. Passed away a few years ago. Going out there, massive lamdonim. And he had the following of Dar. I learned every sugya until I have a kasha that I can't answer. The answer is every sugya is infinitely deep and infinitely profound. Always. Every sugya. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu is infinite, is beyond our imagination, beyond our understanding. The original thought is infinitely deep and we'll never, we can never understand it. Fully. Never. It's impossible. It's physically impossible. We are dictated by logic. Our minds work like in logic, and God is illogical. She'll never have. The question is, how far back do you want to go? How far back do you want to go? Right? You want to go back to you know stage one? Let's call that the keys. Stage two is something first. Level, you know? So you can always go further. But there has to be a point where you say, that's not for me now, let's go on. Either because I'm not going to gain more from it now, it's not going to help me now, whatever it is. But there comes a point where we say, like, that ad kind of a sulam.
Why?
There could be countless reasons. Either because you won't fully grasp the difference, you won't appreciate the nafkaminas. It could be because your rebbeim understand that it's not a skill to work on now because we're also trying to help you work on skills that
each
are
time you do me,
learn
yeah,
how to learn.
Rosh Hashem.
Okay, but
so
is it more important
what,
to get
it's all the same Rosh Hashem, no different Rosh Hashem. Rosh Hashem is Rosh Hashem. And different asks, it's not like different types of Rosh Hashem. Rosh Hashem is
613.
It's all one Rosh Hashem.
That aspect of that all being one Rosh Hashem is something, Tzad Ben Asu Yechia, that's something you'll never fully get. At that level, that's what right? That all 613 mitzvahs really are all one. That's true. Figure that out. Don't try, because you won't figure it out. But that's the site. Right? That's also all the mitzvahs come from the Sarsa Dibris. Sag wrote, they all come from the Sarsa Dibris. What does that mean? How does kasher zom lasa stechav come to it? Okay, it comes under a shekel, v'chule, somewhere there's a remnant, but like, that's beyond my pay grade right now. That's beyond my scope right now.
So at certain points it becomes unable to collect closer to the source of the shekel.
Yeah. It's not for me now. I can't get there now. Maybe in 5 years I can get... What do you think the pshat is in the shekel if you get to be 4 years old before you learn Kabbalah? Some random magic number. You have to have a certain development of your knowledge. You have to have a certain development of your thought process. There's a certain development of your limit of Torah to get to that level. We're not holding by that yet. So many times you need your Rebbe to come and tell you that's not for now. Because otherwise we'd be stuck in the same sugi for the rest of our lives. Or you need your Rebbe to say, like, okay, you could go fight there now, but at the end of the day, there's something that's, you know, going fight there now is going from an 80 to an 85, and I want to go from a 0 to an 80 on the next circuit. right? There's a lot of shas out there. 80% of everything, right? You get 80% of all the svaras of 2007 and 11, a lot of shas. That's pretty good. Or you can get 90% of like 10 blood. Different.
That's a better, whatever that means, and closeness to Hashem, whatever that means.
In those 10 blood. But you're lacking the other 2,710 and one blood. It's a lot. Right? Let's say they're interconnected, so only 2,000 blood.
There's different Ratzon Hashem.
The Ratzon Hashem, as it filters down into this world, just like a light, when you put it through a prism, right? You see many different colors, right? So it's the same way the Ratzon Hashem is. He's blown away by this, trying to figure out what I'm talking about. I understand. What? No, at the end of the day, it's not even Masa Yichya. At the end of the day, it all comes down to the Emunah. That at the end of the day, right? Yisrael v'raisim kudra b'richu chadu. There is a level of unification. There is a level of it's all one. It's all sourced in one. That is 100% true. No one can deny that. But just because that's true, that there's also a level of existence that we live in where there's a lot of pirut, a lot of different parts, right? If I punch you, technically I'm punching myself, but it doesn't hurt me. Maybe it should, but it doesn't, right? Yeah, I'm not such a good Jew, so it doesn't hurt me. At some level, we're all unified, right? Neshama Klolus of Klal Yisrael, the whole world. This is all true, but like, we're living a life in a reality of distinctions and separations, which means that that source of one, which was all the way up high and beyond our concept and understanding, was put through some prison, and because of that, just like the light, when it goes through the prison, it now separates into 4,000 colors. So to the Ratzon Hashem, when it goes to the prison, comes down to this world, there's those stages through stages through stages through stages through stages, through stages, it gets greater and greater and greater and greater and greater and greater and greater until we're living in this world where there's 6 billion people or however many people there are, right? And there are different species of animals, and there are different species of plant life and vegetation, and then there's, like, that's all true, right? That's all definitely true. So you're right. You're right. If somebody went to the ultimate amkus of one sugya, as far deep as you possibly could, you would get through the whole Torah through that one sugya. That'd be really good.
Why is it that when we're learning, let's say, Kashrus, we don't say, you know, this is the halacha, and this is based off the Gemara and everything else?
How come then no one comes
this
down?
This is the halacha, and, you know.
It's a shayla. I'm seeing some people. The answer is because there's an overriding perspective of let's figure out how to make you into to teach you the skills in order that you can have the ability to learn on your own and develop your capabilities to look beyond the surface in Gemaras. And to spend time on that is not a skill that is necessary to focus on now. It's going to advance your skills so much. Now, so it's knowledge, and knowledge is important, knowledge is beautiful, knowledge is great, but it's not, there's other knowledge that we could also give you that are going to help you to advance on your own in the future, and maybe we should focus on those first.
So when other people like learn, who actually know how to learn, do they then go to the
sure.
What's the point of like Bikias if it's
oh, that's for a different conversation. Okay. That's for a long conversation, also.
Okay.
Abby.
Yeah.